Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A 3-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly 3 decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, this is something you've heard every day this week, but be careful out there because it... Saw that it was a little slick on the way in. Good morning to you. Welcome to a Thursday. Going to be an interesting day on the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How you doing, Hugh? What up?
Good morning, John Fricke. Good morning, Atlanta. I'm good, man. I cannot complain. We had a wonderful night. I didn't do too much. Didn't do too much at all. Just kind of just relaxed.
You got a fireplace?
No.
Yeah, because tonight would be a good night for a fire.
Not if you're by yourself looking all crazy. That fireplace is not built for a single individual.
Why, yes, it is.
I mean, if you want to sit in front of the fireplace by yourself drinking wine, that's fine. I choose not to do
you're
that.
Right, John. Tonight I am going to build a fire.
I was just thinking it sounds like a good idea. I haven't had a,
oh, no,
I had a real fire yet.
Because you're going to sit up there with the real estate, maybe you, LC, and Archie. Y'all can sit there and drink wine and have nice little conversation.
I don't know how much wine I'll drink on. Well, it is drinking night.
Yeah, I mean, it's, right, I just don't. I'm not built like that. I'm not trying to do that.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. It is sort of drinking night because I think they're going to say it's going to be like 25 or 26 degrees tonight for a low. Ooh, welcome to winter. It hit in a hurry.
All my firewood is wet because it's outside, and it,
well, that's probably not going to burn.
I'm just saying. I'm going to have to buy some more at the store. So hopefully somebody is selling some.
Yeah, the Publix has firewood. They all have firewood, but you know the 4-hour logs work too.
Oh, I have not tried the 4-hour log.
Oh, yeah. Just any Kroger I have.
See, now you're talking about stuff I have no clue about.
Yeah, just you go in and get the 4-hour log. And it's perfect. The one log. It's perfect. It self-starts. You just light it. The whole thing goes
up. Easy enough.
Yeah, it's super simple. Yeah, that's a way to do it. Yeah.
I'll just get 2 of those so it lasts 8 hours.
You're going to be up for 8 hours?
No, I'm just kidding, John.
I was going to say, it is going to be a Hawks kind of night as they continue their road trip against the Denver Nuggets. Two cold teams on a cold night in Denver. Hawks have lost 5 in a row. Nuggets, after a hot start, have lost their last 4. Our coverage begins at 8:30 tonight. The tip is at 9 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We've got Thursday Night Football tonight, and it's actually a pretty decent game, Hugh, when you talk about name value. Green Bay at Seattle. Problem is, I don't know who to root for tonight. Green Bay's 4-4-1.
And Seattle's like, what,
4-5?
4-5, right? And they're both, everybody kind of like in the same situation as far as fighting for playoff contention, because Seattle's still alive. Mm-hmm. Seattle's still alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. The reason I think I'm going to root for Green Bay is that...
Not root for Green Bay.
Well, at the very least, the Falcons can kind of control their own destiny in that they do play at Green Bay coming up in 3 weeks.
Yeah. I see your point. So you want Green Bay to win?
I guess.
And then Falcons knock off Green Bay.
Right.
How about Green Bay loses? Then they lose to the Falcons, so they want their dreams to be dashed.
Shattered.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, they might be wanting to play spoiler. You just never know.
Yeah, we were up at Flowery Branch yesterday, you and I, and the way it works, we have to kind of go from one building to another, and we have to spend a little bit of time outside before we can go into the locker room. We were standing out there, and a lot of people were complaining about the fact that it was chilly, because it was. It was chilly, and so D-Led's looking out there, and he's going, it's cold out here. And I said, D-Led, in 3 weeks, you're going to be in Green Bay, Wisconsin in December.
Yeah, it's not really. That's why I understand that, you know, because I was talking to some of the camera guys, and they were basically saying, oh, it's cold out here, you know, because I roll up, you know, in my everyday attire, my shorts and whatnot. And they were like, well, dude, you're kind of used to it. I mean, you know, I can understand people that have lived down here or lived down further south in, like, Jacksonville, Florida. Or in Florida, period, that, you know, you're not used to this type of weather. But, yeah, it can get a lot worse. It can definitely get a lot worse. It was a little brick yesterday, though, because the wind was blowing.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little brick.
Yeah, I know we hear about weather weenies, but do you get – let's say you're a football player, Hugh, from the north because you're from Ohio, and you played at Philadelphia and for the Jets. I mean, you know what it's like to play in cold, miserable weather. But if you move down south to Jacksonville, as you did – do you get soft when suddenly you go back north and that smacks you in the face again?
I mean, it's a little bit of a reality check, but, you know, nah, not really. I still run around with shorts on, John. I mean, but you know, I haven't really been up north in the weather in a couple years,
mm-hmm.
So I really couldn't tell you. I mean, you know, I haven't had an opportunity to be up there when it's been inclement weather.
Mm-hmm.
So I really couldn't tell you. But I don't think so. I think, you know, it'll be brick for you for a little while. But your body's been used to it forever, so it shouldn't be that bad.
Yeah, because I saw a couple of games last week that were, you know, we're starting to get into that time of the year, obviously, where we have to kind of focus in on the potential for winter weather. And there's a big winter storm that's going to be going to our north, you know, in the next couple of days. And we saw snow last week at a few games. Minnesota was playing
in Jersey it's supposed to be like a wintry mix. It's supposed mm-hmm. to be like a nor'easter.
Right.
It's coming that way.
Right.
So, yeah, that's something different.
Right. So you start to kind of focus in a little bit on the weather and the impact the weather could have on some of the games in the north. And, well, we'll see what that's like, because that's just it. I mean, I thought it was interesting yesterday that the Falcons worked out indoors, only because I thought, you know, you're going to have to kind of prepare for, you know, some of the colder, wetter, nastier days. I wonder why, you know, I guess it's just a safety issue, Hugh.
Well, you know, they don't have they don't have heaters in those domes. I don't think
they don't have one. Okay.
I don't think, John. I don't know. I know they leave
the door open.
I haven't practiced in their facility, but I can tell you in Philadelphia, when we had to play outside, if we practiced indoors, that was just because you wanted to work on your passing game. You didn't want the ball to be slick mm-hmm. sometimes. But sometimes you practice outside. If it wasn't really, really bad, mm-hmm. we practice outside. But if it's raining or something, you practice indoors.
And we get ready for the Falcons and the Cowboys on Sunday, and our coverage, of course, begins with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. And if you haven't been to the Tailgate Show, it's a lot of fun right there off Northside Drive across from the Gold Deck. And it begins at 9 a.m. Then, of course, Hugh and Mike with the Bud Light Countdown to kick off at 11. And the game is at 1 o'clock with the Dallas Cowboys coming into town. Now, yesterday, part of the big news in the locker room yesterday, we still don't know. Look, we still don't know about what's going to happen with Deion Jones. All right. Now, it's going to be a decision. It may be a decision they don't make till late tomorrow as to whether or not he's on the 53-man roster. But when you get down to that's the active roster that from which you can pull the 45 guys that will be active for the game. We don't know if he'll be active or inactive. I think we're all sort of leaning towards inactive. Hugh, is that
I don't think he's
going to
play.
Yeah.
I mean, because you could kind of tell if you don't really get that much work on Wednesday, mm-hmm. you're not going to play. I mean, that's just kind of how it goes.
And so I think we're leaning towards inactive, plus they could hold him for. Remember, they've got the big game. You know, you have to win this game, or otherwise Thursday's game doesn't mean much except for the rivalry. But at the same time, you do have a game, you know, in 5 days. You have to, well, four technically, I guess, when you play Sunday and then follow it up by playing on Thanksgiving on Thursday. The good news is if you could somehow, and people, I know everybody out there is going to, that's a pipe dream. If you could somehow win both these games, then before you go play Baltimore, you have a little bit of a mini bye, because you play Thursday and then skip a Sunday, so you get an extra 3 or 4 days of rest. But this Sunday to Thursday thing that they're looking at, I am curious about one thing, and it was something I didn't really ask so much yesterday. But Hugh, have you ever done the Sunday and Thursday thing?
Yes.
Okay. For the Sunday and Thursday thing, on like a day like today, let's put it this way. We're a week away from the game against the Saints, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we have a game between then. Do you have to start preparing for the other game, the second game, a little bit?
Yeah, they do. They do that, John, but they have people for that. Like, they're probably, knowing that this was coming up, they probably started scouting weeks in advance. But the good thing about it is you got one game down. So you kind of, like, you take a little bit of that. You look at probably their last four opponents, but you have people on your staff that do that. You probably have, like, the interns or somebody. Not so much the coaching staff. They'll probably look at a little bit of the film.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll have, like, the other people in the organization that will start to break that film down for you so that it won't be as much work for you when you have that quick turnaround. But I will tell you this, right after that game Sunday night, right after you get done playing the Dallas Cowboys, they're going to go right into New Orleans. They're going to go right into New Orleans, and they're going to start scouting for that. So the coaches probably, to be honest, John, won't go home. They'll probably go straight from the stadium back to Flowery Branch, back into the offices, and start working on the game. They'll probably sleep at Flowery Branch that night.
That's the life of a coach. Right.
Yeah, because I know a lot of times Big Red used to spend the night. Andy Reid used to spend the night at the NovaCare Complex. I mean, and the coaching staff did too.
Well, there are all sorts of stories about John Gruden and how he would work 19 hours a day and never leave the facility. A lot of good it does him now. Because look at that team. A lot of good it does him now. Look at Daryl covering his ears like I just said a curse word. Chucky, no, Chucky, kinda, Chucky.
It's that's the life of a coach, man. You know, and if you want to get into coaching, that's exactly what you do. That's your life. I mean, you're when football season starts, that's what you do. That's the whole time. That's it. That's all of that. That's all you do.
The injury list has come out for the game that included one name that I went, uh-huh. I was looking at NFL.com and the injury list just, because we got the alerts that Dallas is dinged up on both lines. Oh, and by the way, Tyson Smith is one of those names. Now, last year, Tyson Smith didn't play. And what happened? Adrian Claiborne feasted. I'm just saying, okay.
Adrian Claiborne ain't here, though.
No, but Bruce Irvin is.
Yeah, he is.
Okay, I would just...
No, I'm just saying, John.
I'm just trying to.
No, I mean, no, I got it. I got you. And Dallas's defensive line is banged up as well. They're a little banged up. One of the better defensive lines you're going to face this year. So, you know, that's something too. They didn't. I think I read this morning that they didn't practice. Most of them didn't practice this morning. So, Yeah, you got that. So we'll see. Like I said, it's not like I'm trying to be a Debbie Downer because that's not what I'm trying to do. But I don't know what team's going to show up Sunday.
We don't. Yeah, I think that's fair enough.
I mean, and that's why when you say that, and I know you're being excited and in your fandom, I don't know how to respond to that because I as of today, I don't know how this team is going to respond to adversity. Mm-hmm. I know how they respond when they feel like they're winning. They're in a catbird seat. They chill out. They just roll their helmets out there on the field. They just, throw them out there. So I don't know. I don't know how to respond to that.
Well, and then there was a name that said, like Deion Jones didn't, some guys from the Falcons didn't practice, like, for example, Mohamed Sanu did not practice yesterday. And some of this, when they don't practice, some of it is precautionary, because a guy may still be a little bit dinged and you just don't want to overwork him. It doesn't mean he's not going to play. It just means that they're, precautionary. And one of the names, of course, was Matt Bryant because he'll kick today to see if he can go. And at this point, I think we're all thinking that Giorgio Tavecchio will probably be kicking again on Sunday, but the NFL.com listed him as Stephen Bryant, and my first reaction was to say, man, why did they diss Matt Bryant? Do they not know who Matt Bryant is? And then, Hugh, you looked at me and said, is that his first name?
Well, you kind of got in your feelings real quick. You just knew that this was something disrespectful that was going on. And I was like, what is that? That may be his middle name.
And Matt Bryant is his middle name. I went, oh. Okay, never mind.
Well, Matt is his middle name.
Matt is his
first name is Stephen, but yeah. I guess he likes to go by,
He goes by Matt. Stephen Matthew, I guess. Yeah. All right. So technically they got it right. It still looks weird to say Stephen Bryant is not participating in practice. Dan Quinn is participating in interviews, and he talked to us yesterday about the Cowboys, about Deion, and about much more about the Atlanta Falcons going into this critical game on Sunday. That interview next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Monday through Friday.
Swap things where you check your...
At the frickin' goal line!
We're gonna fill 5 hours of radio. You're gonna love it.
And all through the weekend.
Football is easy. Coaches make it hard.
Just let me be a man.
The game is everywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Falcons and the Cowboys Sunday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and we welcome to 92.9 The Game on the WayForward.com hotline, the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, Dan Quinn.
Coach, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, Hugh. Good morning, John.
You know, Coach, you said yourself that the team took a step back on Sunday. What are you doing to get these guys back on track?
Well, number one, we run right back to the process of getting ready, and I know you've heard me say that. It's deeper than words. It's all the stuff that goes into getting ready. Game plan, the learning, getting your body right, getting your technique right. So we run right back to it. And so that's what's nice about the game week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Each kind of has its own preparation part, theme to it, how to get right. And so that's what we're right back to.
Talking with Dan Quinn about the Falcons and the Cowboys and, of course, rehashing what happened in Cleveland.
You know, Coach, we were real excited when we saw Deion Jones on that 53-man roster. How cautious are you going to be with him working him back this week?
Well, we're going to take great care of him, number one, because he is so important. So I think the best, way to go about it, Hugh, is let's take him all the way through a full week where, he can, really get ready to play. And so we won't have any updates, for a while. So that way we can take it all the way through the week. And when he's ready to go, that's when we'll, you know, make him active. So until that time, you know, we're not going to put him out there until he's 100% ready.
All right, we understand the 100% ready thing. Since the topic is there, let's go ahead and expound on it, even though it's early. What about the health of the team? Are we seeing Matt Bryant back anytime soon? Anybody else we need to be brought up to speed on?
Yeah, I think there's a chance with Matt. He's going to kick on Thursday. And so after practice Thursday, I think we'll have a good assessment of where he's at. He'll take his, you know, full load, and he's definitely close. So he's chomping at the bit to get going. But, you know, we'll take it through Thursday. That's the day that he normally kicks, John. So we'll take it through that day, and I'll have a good, you know, assessment for you by the weekend. Or excuse me, after Thursday's practice.
And anybody else are we looking at, or are we pretty much, you know, as close as you can be to I guess, Coach, with season-ending injuries, let's call it full health.
That's right. And so that's, you know, been, you know, something that, you know, when you, after a game, you have a chance to assess where the team's at and health-wise. So we're in pretty good shape heading into today's practice and this week's game. And that's always a good thing.
It is always a good thing. We're talking with head coach Dan Quinn, getting ready for the Falcons and the Cowboys on Sunday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Ben Garland came out and talked about, you know, some of the reaction that we got from you and from Devondre and other people after the Cleveland game about the fact that you can use that as a moment where everybody kind of goes, oh, no, or you can play the victim, or you can use that as a rallying cry. Do you get a sense of urgency now that from this point forward, every game is like a playoff game for this team?
You know, the mindset and the attitude every time you go, brother, you got to bring all you got. And we know this matchup, although the two records of the teams aren't good. Think about all the battle that's going to go forward. So we're really excited for this game and for us to have a chance after, you know, a couple weeks on the road to be back home. You can bet, you know, we're ready to get rolling in a big way.
You know, Coach Ezekiel Elliott, how does he compare to the running backs that you face, like a Saquon Barkley, Adrian Peterson, and a Nick Chubb? Where does he rank in the hierarchy of running backs that you've went against this year?
Sure. I would say, much like Barkley, I guess probably that'd be the first way to start, where he's a factor in the run game and the pass game. So I believe he's their second leading receiver. So to have, you know, that many catches, it's screens, it's shots down the field, he's out of the backfield. But from a running standpoint, I would say one of the things he has that patience, you to wait for it and then explode and hit the hole. So those are the things I've noticed about him. He can take the handoff. He's almost waiting for that block to set up, and then the explosion happens. He sticks his foot in the ground and goes. So those are the things. I think his vision and his patience really sets him apart. And then I would say, just like the other guys in the run game, and then he's as much a factor in the pass game as well.
Yeah, it was interesting to have you guys have Coach Quinn joining us. Such success in corralling Saquon and Adrian Peterson, and then to have Nick Chubb, you know, do what he did last week here.
Yeah, it was you know, definitely something that, you know, a long run like that, we got to get him down. And so those were the ones that it's hard to recover from. And when that happens, we go right back to it and make sure we got our technique and everything aligned like we want to. So that's what we got to do.
Yeah, back to technique here. Let's talk about technique in terms of the last time you faced Dallas, they didn't have Zeke Elliott, and you were able to get to Dak Prescott a lot in that game. Baker Mayfield wanted to get the ball out of his hands quickly. We understand that. I mean, is it a chance maybe this week that pass rush you're hoping now with Bruce Irvin now getting his feet underneath him and with Tack and with Vic that you can affect the quarterback this week?
Yeah, we certainly hope so, but it really comes down to, you know, playing us, you know, better on first and second downs to create some of those moments where our third downs are longer and the 2 minutes to go. So, you know, each game's different and each matchups are, like you had, you know, mentioned earlier, you know, different teams, different players. But, you know, every week, you know, we're kind of looking to dig into that topic and hopefully have some more chances to, you know, get our pass rush up and going, you know, certainly with the addition of Bruce into the mix.
You know, Coach, you talk about being different players and everything like that. How is Dak different this year as opposed to the quarterback that you faced last year?
Yeah, I'd say, I think number one, he's, you know, completing at a high percentage. Certainly with Amari there, he's been somebody that has a lot of targets as well. He's kind of good at all the routes, too. Like he, you know, with a steep ball, crossing routes, you know, he can, you know, work inside and break guys off. So I think that's probably, you know, a significant help. But back to Dak, you know, the ability for him to create two plays, you know, the first play starts and then he can break outside the pocket and now a second play just begins. So I think those are things as a defense that you have to prepare for, you have to practice. And then in the run game, you know, he has an option element to him as well. So truly a dual threat quarterback this week who can extend plays. And we've certainly played guys who do that and we'll have to rely on some of that experience as well to make sure you're prepared when the second play and he scrambles out that you're ready to plaster onto your guys and keep on going.
Dan Quinn joining us on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Last week, so many of those things that you had worked on that you had excelled at or on offense, you know, gotten so much better, third down, red zone, short yardage, really they kind of reared their heads against Cleveland, especially, you know, the third down and the short yardage. You know, you're addressing these kind of things here, you know, when you're talking about a half yard away from a goal and how frustrating it must have been for this offense to, you know, be out of balance at 52 passes, 19 rushes and whatnot. A focal point this week to try and get those, you know, third and shorts and those red zone stuff, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, for sure. The red zone, you know, is a spot that we've made significant progress in third down as well. So, you know, we intend to get right back to, you know, the things that have made us successful in that spot. We've got a good scheme for it. We know what to do. So now we got to go and execute that plan really well. So Dallas has a good red zone defense. They're one of the top, you know, defenses in that spot. And we perform well in that area too. So those are some of those matchups that are the games within the game. We certainly got out of balance from our run pass, but that happens when you're down like we were in the third quarter or towards the end of the third quarter, where you have to do whatever you have to do in that game to try to win. So as we go back to it, you know, that one's behind us. And all of our focus, all of our attention is just about kicking ass and playing as good as we can this weekend, you know, against Dallas. And like I said earlier, just, you know, the fact that we get to come back home after a couple weeks on the road, that's a good thing for us and for the fans.
We're joined by Dan Quinn, head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. Yeah, establishing the run early and getting back into that balance and being able to go. Coach, there was a moment in the game last week, and Dave Archer talked about it on a couple of occasions, where it seemed as though, and I'm not trying to bag the referees, but there was one referee who kept getting kind of in the way from, you know, standing over the ball and was not letting you guys snap it and get into the kind of rhythm you wanted to go at. I would imagine if you can get into, it seems to me, if you can get back into that pace, that would be a good thing, right?
Yeah, and Matt does such a good job of knowing when to go in and out of tempo, whether it was down the goal line trying to get a sneak to get going or where we can get no huddle and get on the ball. So it's a big part of what we do within a drive. Sometimes we'll get moving and get going. Other times we'll huddle up and go. So it's just different ways to attack. And I was excited to see, you know, the different ways that we can. You know, after you've gone through now 9 games, there's a number of different packages that we use, a number of different, you know, it's run game, it's play pass, it's screens, it's Matt outside the pocket on the move. So there's a lot to deal with when you, you know, compete against our offense. And we can't wait to get back out on the field again.
If I can, one final thing here, Coach, just at the end of the interview, go back to the beginning. The disappointment of Cleveland, is it morphed into anger, into, you know, commitment, into resolve? What do you get a sense right now?
Well, number one, John, like, we don't try to let it ride too high and too low. We have a real process we go through to get ready. Were we disappointed post-game? You bet we were. And Monday we came in, told the truth about what happened, and made our corrections, and now we're on to Dallas. Because if your focus and your intensity is not right for what you need to get done for this week, then, you know, you're going to lose that, you know, that preparation time and all that goes into getting ready. So for us, it's full speed ahead, all our preparation on Dallas.
Coach, appreciate your taking a few minutes. We look forward to seeing you a little bit later.
All right, have a good one.
Go get them, Coach.
And it was, of course, head coach Dan Quinn as we get ready for the Falcons and the Cowboys. The Falcons are 3-point favorites on the board in Vegas. 3 points, of course, is just home field. So basically Vegas saying, game's a scratch. It's a toss-up. Pick them. Kickoff at 1 o'clock on Sunday. When we get back, some of the things that make this Thursday fun in the Wendy Zone with John and Hume on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, I have to say it's another stellar debut for Atlanta United, because in the team's first year of eligibility, it was named the most valuable team in Major League Soccer by Forbes magazine with a valuation of $330 million. And this is their first year of eligibility. Forbes listed Atlanta United's unprecedented fan support and ticket sales at home matches as a primary driver for the valuation that they gave the team. And on Sunday's Eastern Conference semifinal, that crowd pushed Atlanta past the 1 million tickets sold.
Yeah, that is amazing. A million tickets, a million people went to see Atlanta United, and we could have another 140,000.
Yes, right. So we're not even done with the entire year yet. I mean, we still have a postseason game to go, if not more. this season. So overall, five Atlanta players ranked among the top 25 selling jersey. No other team has more than three. Joseph Martinez and Miguel Amaron among the top selling jerseys.
And we
so
still
congratulations
don't know when,
to Atlanta United.
When MVP is going to be, right? I mean,
when I've researched it, John, they usually list it in January, or they name the MVP in January. Mm. At least from past seasons, I'm not sure when they're going to be releasing that MVP or not. Well, I tweeted this out at 929 the game. So if you haven't seen it, you're going to want to check it out, because we've seen plenty of nasty flagrant fouls on the basketball court over the years, whether that be in college or in the NBA. But this one, for me at least, is by far one of the most egregious flagrant fouls I have ever seen. And it comes from a Division III college basketball player. So Nicholls College freshman guard Nate, I'm hoping I get his last name correctly, Tanaglia, knocked down a three-pointer late in his team's win over Fitchburg State. And while Fitchburg State's Kawan Platt closed out on him well after the shot left his hand and clubbed him in the head. So essentially he takes three steps towards Tanaglia, hits him in the face. You can see that he immediately falls to the floor and grabbed his face. So he was suspended indefinitely by the team. Initially, rumblings on social media indicated that Platt was not called for the foul, but it was reported that several people in attendance say he was ejected after picking up that technical foul earlier in the game. In a statement released on Wednesday, Fitchburg State Athletic Director Matthew Burke condemned the dirty play and said Platt has been suspended indefinitely, barred from campus. So it's a pretty nasty foul.
Yeah, it's been seen like 4.5 million times, Hugh. I mean, it's been viewed a lot.
Yeah, man, it was one thing that people put it, they sent me the picture in the DM. And the funny thing about it, John, is the guy, Kawan Platt, is a criminal justice major. I was reading the story, and they were like, if anybody knew, or if anybody knows what a criminal act is, it should be him.
Right.
And he was just like, when he hit dude, and he hit Buddy in the face, he just kind of went on about his business like he didn't do anything wrong.
So well, he also, ridiculous. If you watch the video, he also takes a glance back at the official. And the guy on the baseline, I don't know what, he really didn't look the,
he didn't look concerned at all.
The complete play, because he's looking at the direction of the basketball. My question is, what were the other two officials doing?
Right.
Where were they? Because you clearly had to see this happen.
Well, because he just launched a three-pointer. You would think he would be looking at the player who had the ball, and no one seemed utterly concerned about it, at least from the video from our angle, or the one that you can see that's roaming around social media. Again, you can go to 92.9 The Game if you have not seen that play.
Boy, he
cold cocked him.
No, he looked to see if the line ref, the ref behind the basket, was looking, and then he just let him have it. That ain't cool.
Something had to have happened beforehand, right?
Well, according to Nicholls spokesperson Pete DeVito, he said that Platt was frustrated after Tanaglia covered him throughout the game and smothered him on defense. So essentially he was just getting worked the entire game, and that was just his frustration building up and sort of just cold cocked him to the ground. But Tanaglia was evaluated for a concussion, ended up finishing the game after passing some tests. But I'm surprised he got up from it, because he went down pretty hard after getting pummeled in the face. Well, we don't often hear of a lot of good news in the media, but let's shout out to the Dallas Mavericks, who went all out to honor wounded U.S. troops on Wednesday night. They flew in 120 soldiers, hooked them up with courtside seats and a pretty fancy four-course meal. They announced it was hosting that 14th annual Seats for Soldiers night and gave away floor tickets for the soldiers. It's all valued at $350,000. So they started off with a dinner at Nick and Sam's in Dallas. They fed them a steak dinner, had a 7-layer cake, and then they had them all hooked up with courtside seats. So, and gave 1,000 veterans free tickets to the game. So good on the Dallas Mavericks for hooking up our troops.
7-layer cake. Night. How does that work?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Because it's like, you know, because I'm thinking layer, it's like the cake part, right? The layer. Yeah. So it's like seven of them. So how thin are the layers, number one?
Mm-hmm.
And then how big is the 7-layer cake?
Right.
That's the first thing. Like, I'm not going to lie. That's the first thing that I thought about when they said 7-layer cake. 7 layers? How big is that?
Yeah.
Like, how big is that on your plate?
Like one of those things where you...
And then how do you
eat it?
How do you eat that? You know what I mean?
I guess you got to turn it sideways, right?
Yeah. Sideways, I would imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, I know 7-layer dip.
Are there any cake experts
7-layer
out
dip
there?
I like.
7-layer
I know there's a couple chefs that listen to us, and I need to figure that out. How thin are the layers? Or is that like a 7-layer cake? Do you go 4 and 3 on one side? Or how do you do that? How do you make that 7-layer cake?
Let's ask Google real quick, Hugh, and see what... Actually, it doesn't look... It looks kind of like thin, so it looks like... I don't know. Depending on how big they wanted the layers.
So basically, you got you're kind of cheating. You're like you're cutting the
well,
like
there's
a two layer cake. You're cutting the cutting it in half and putting like frosting. No, that's not.
Well, some 7-layer cakes are bigger than others. It just I guess it depends on how much cake you want in between all your delicious layers. You really are eating cake for the icing, anyways, right?
Right.
Am I right? Well, a Houston man was arrested in College Station after he hit a 21-year-old with a hammer during a tailgate dispute on Friday. Police said the argument began when 57-year-old Robert Pattinson removed the 21-year-old's stakes from the ground that outlined the area he claimed for a tailgating at a football game the following day. So when police arrived at the tailgating spot near Texas A&M, the victim had a visible red spot on his arm from the hammer. The victim told police he had completely set his stakes in the ground before Patterson arrived. Patterson then started to remove the victim's stakes and replace him with his own, causing the argument, but ended up hitting this guy with a hammer because he wanted the tailgate spot. Who does that?
A&M.
That's ridiculous. What have we? What if this world? What is this world come to?
It was hammer time.
What is this world come to?
Zoom ching. By the way, today is National Clean Out Your Fridge Day. I don't know if y'all have. What's the oldest thing in y'all's fridge? But you should probably get rid of it today.
I got some garlic in my fridge ready.
How old is it?
It's been there for a while.
I got water. You got vampires? What the hell?
Water. No, I cook with garlic sometimes.
I got potatoes with roots growing out of them.
Yeah, you can still eat those, though.
I don't
as long as they ain't soft.
I'm good.
But no,
How old is that garlic, Hugh?
It's been there for a while.
I probably got a couple of things in my freezer that have been there for a year.
I got a sausage in my freezer that's been there. It has hair.
Wait a minute. Did you say a year?
Yeah, probably.
Wait. Hugh just said you have sausage in your freezer with hair?
It got hair. You know how the icicles.
The frost?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's been too long.
Yeah, that's been a little bit too long.
You got to throw that one away.
Yeah, probably so. Little frost damage. Little freeze damage. Brian Snickers, NL Manager of the Year. Hot Stove League about to kick up. What are the Braves going to do in the Hot Stove League? We talked to the Skip about his award and more. And we have that next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.